the journey to leadership is anything but conventional. Join Justin Gray as he talks with badass leaders from across the globe to discover where they came from and the drive that got them to where they are today. Welcome. This is Driven & Co.
All right. So hello and welcome again. You're on Driven & Co. And I am your host, Justin Gray, founder, CEO of LeadMD, and now recently SixBricks. So on the show today, I've got a super interesting guest because he deals with one of these topics that it seems like is always top of mind. But for some reason, a lot of us are always putting it off as well. And that, of course, is fitness. So I'm excited to welcome Devin Klein to the show. Devin is the co-founder and CEO of Burn Bootcamp. Devin, welcome.
Justin, thank you for having me, my friend. Excited to be here and to have a great conversation today.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about, you know, your organization and really your product is, I was thinking about this prior to the show, you're almost selling commitment. You're not even necessarily, you know, selling a fitness regime and so on. It's really, you're getting someone bought into making a change here, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that is one of the things that has really springboarded us into our growth. You know, just 5 years ago, we had one location out of a parking lot, and now we have over 312 locations across 34 states here in the United States, getting ready to expand into Toronto and UAE Wow. and some other cool stuff. And you know, to your point, it's a culture thing. I think that being able to offer something that is greater than just fitness is extremely important. I mean, how many fitness professionals out there, you know, can teach people to do a push-up and to you know, make a salad? I mean, really, if you ask 1,000 people, everyone knows the strategies in order to get healthy. It's eat well and exercise often, but how many people really do it? I mean, you know the stats, right? They're outstandingly skewed into, you know, us not doing that. And so there's a disconnect there. And my job, my mission was always to figure out that disconnect, what drives human behavior and what really creates that level of commitment. And, you know, we really found that it's much, much more than just fitness and just nutrition, that there's a whole, you know, this whole psychological element that most fitness professionals almost leave completely out. And if they don't leave it completely out, it's an afterthought. And the reason why our culture is so strong, we're able to grow so fast, is because psychology is the forefront of everything that we do. And in order to change your body physically, you must, you know, must already have it done internally, both mentally and emotionally. And so, you know, with that being said, that level of commitment that we're cultivating out of our clients, it stems it's kind of carved into the philosophy and the culture of who we are as leaders, first and foremost, because everyone I think listening to this and you knows that as a leader, you know, everything starts and stops with you, and you set the standards for your and the expectations for your crew and for your team, and in my case, for my franchise system.
Absolutely. So that's kind of a good little intro in and of itself right there in terms of what drives, you know, the organization every day, and certainly your motives in starting Burn Bootcamp. But let's talk a little bit, just what is Burn Bootcamp for the audience's edification?
Yeah, absolutely. So Burn Bootcamp is a 45-minute fitness program for mostly women. We do co-ed sessions as well. But we are a brick and mortar fitness franchise. Our facilities are about 5,000 square foot. We live on this five pillar philosophy that psychology is number one, nutrition is number two, strength training is number three, and building a physique, burst training, which is our proprietary version of our cardio training, is number four. And then most importantly, to tie it all back in together, is the community aspect, or the environment is kind of that glue that holds everything together. So those five pillars are what shape everything about Burn Bootcamp. We have rocking energy. You come into the gym, you're greeted with a name and a smile and a high five. And, you know, if it's your first day, everyone's welcoming you in with open arms. And, you know, there's no judgments, there's no negative emotions going on in the gym. Everybody's super positive, and that's by culture, and that's by our standard. We've designed that experience at Burn Bootcamp, and, you know, it really is, and as cliche as this may sound to some of us out there, it really does change people's lives. And, you know, and that is why we are able to grow and able to prosper so quickly. It's we add more value to our clients' lives than anyone else possibly can in our sector, and doing so with a strong culture. And that is the foundation. And then you have your free childcare on top of that, you know, the women and the busy moms and our, you know, the ones that take care of us need the free childcare. They need that in and out 45 minute workout session. You know, highly motivating, energetic, loud music. I mean, it is just an atmosphere like none other, an atmosphere that hasn't existed in kind of combination with the emotional element of it, if right. that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, already you can tell it's a little bit different as you're talking about a philosophy that goes along with a fitness program, which is just not how a lot of us would think about, you know, exercise and fitness in general. So you guys, as you mentioned, you guys have had a pretty, you know, meteoric rise here. You guys are kind of still within that scale stage, however. So you started in 2012. What's the state of the business in today, and what's a normal day-to-day look like for you?
Yeah, so I started off back, you mentioned back in 2012, we started a parking lot, and I was just a personal trainer. Obviously, I was, you know, running my own personal training business, but I didn't start the franchise until 2015. So January 2015, we had 5 locations. Fast forward to today, where we have 87 open and over 312 awarded. So my day-to-day now is still evolving, you know, like training is always innate in me, and that's who I am, and that's why I got here. And I'll always, you know, it's important for me as the CEO to have a pulse on my business. And so luckily for me, my headquarter facility that we were fortunate enough to acquire is 15,000 square foot, and we have our headquarter gym right there. So I still take Wednesday mornings one time a week to go into the gym and train 4 sessions in a row, you know, kind of before the sun rises, so that way I can keep a pulse on it. And you know, but outside of that one day on Wednesday, you know, I get up around 4 to 4:30 a.m. I'll spend my first 15 minutes of my day just being grateful and just really thanking the higher power to me for me being here, and for the family that I have, and for the business that I have, and the opportunities that I have. And you know, most people will, you know, roll over and look at like their iPhones or something, you know, to put them in a negative state for the day. It's been a critical element of my day to wake up, and a critical element of my success in general, to wake up with gratitude first. You know, I learned that from mentors like Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss and all of these mega, you know, ultra leaders who do these types of things. And then right from there, I'll go into my workout. So I get my mind right first. You know, just practice on what I'm grateful for. And then I go right into my own workout for about an hour. And this is, you know, something that I refuse to miss, that I schedule the rest of my day and my life around my own personal fitness, because that is what I preach to everyone else. And, you know, fitness is a really great metaphor for life and success and business. And so sometimes I don't feel like it, but I just do it anyway, because successful people do, you know, what the others won't do, even when they don't want to do it. And so from there, my daughter actually bursts in the door at about 6:15 or 6:30. Her name is Cameron Elizabeth. She's 19 months old. I got a son, Maxwell, who is on his way. And she bursts in the door. She loves it in the gym. She likes to show daddy her squats. So she comes in the morning and does squats. And then I pick her up because I'm about done, and we go down. My wife is always whipping up something in the kitchen. She's like a wizard when it comes to food, and she really teaches our organization how to eat properly and healthy. And so she's got something downstairs. I wolf that down real quick because I'm always eager to get to the office. And so I take a little 15-minute drive into the office and show up. I have 20 headquarter employees that I love to be around every single day. They love to be here. Our culture is energetic. It's awesome. It's fun. Like, we just do funny, quirky things that we could talk about later if you want to, but I enjoy having a great culture and, you know, meetings all day long, back to back to back to back to back. And then pretty much going home and spending an hour with my daughter before I hit the computer again and kind of catch up on all the little stuff that I missed that day.
Sounds like your typical varied, you know, CEO founder day, which I think most of us enjoy. Not for everyone, but you know, always dynamic. So tell me what. So let's kind of hop in the Wayback Machine and talk about what did you want to be when you grew up. That's kind of one of the fundamental tenets to this show, which is the varied path that we all take. When you were young, what did you think lied ahead?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm glad you bring it up because the last thing I want is any perception of, you know, you must have had a bunch of money to start this business if it's grown so fast, right? I mean, you would think that, right? Going from 5 locations to 312 in just 2.5 years is, you know, not that common. But, you know, actually it's, you know, my past is a product of who I am today, not the other way around. And so when I was 11 or 12 is when I really started to realize that I was in a different situation at home. And, you know, I grew up in a very, you know, physically and mentally and emotionally abusive atmosphere, in a very low end neighborhood, with my father and mother. I actually, was stripped out of school prior to being 11 or 12 years old and moved to 5 or 6 different states, from Arizona to Mississippi to Washington, back to Michigan, you know, and ended up back in my hometown in Battle Creek, Michigan. And, you know, my father was very physically abusive to me. You know, I was always an athlete, and a very good one. And so there was a lot of pressure on me to perform and to succeed. And, you know, ended up, you know, finding the field and the court as an escape to everything that was going on at home. And I had no direction. So to answer your question, I didn't really know what I wanted to be until I found baseball. And then all I wanted to be was a big league baseball player. And I, you know, at 16 years old, was hitting upper 80s with my fastball and got recruited and played at Central Michigan University. And then also with the San Francisco Giants for 3 seasons. And so I had 6 seasons there of baseball, and that was really my passion. But, you know, what drove me throughout all that rough upbringing, what really drove me to, I guess, have this underlying, I guess, subconscious desire to be an entrepreneur was, quite honestly, a moment in time when I was about 16 years old. And I was just, you know, I've always been an intuitive person, and I was always seeking that next challenge, you know, or that higher level of education, and I could not get it in where I lived, in my environment that I was in. There was no resources for the next level of learning. And so I used to have a Sony Walkman that I would have, you know, the old school CDs. Yeah. You know, I'm almost 30, I'm 29, I'll be 30, and I sound super old saying that I had a CD because my daughter will never see one or know what a CD is. But I found a Tony Robbins seminar, and from that moment when I just dove in, like 4 or 5 hours of just binge listening to Tony's words, I found a breath of fresh air. And ever since then, looking back on that, I've listened to him and others and sought mentors, and have really just made my own way by putting myself in proximity with people that are smarter than me and that are more intelligent than I. And that's kind of a theme that I have today, and a theme that I'll continue in the future. But, you know, my upbringing was rough, but at the end of the day, there's been people that have had it rougher. There's people that have it a lot better. It's not an excuse for anything, only a great story when you're able to look that long black tunnel in the face, see the light at the end of it, and kind of punch your way through those obstacles and get out of the other side and look back on it and say, wow, you know, that was tough, but I'm so glad it happened that way, because that's the man that I am today.
Yeah, that's such a critical outlook there. And also a unique story from multiple different angles there. Certainly, we've had folks on the show that have talked about, you know, wanting to be a big league baseball player, or, you know, an astronaut, or a fireman, or that, whatever, you know, kind of childhood dreams manifest themselves in that way. But you actually kind of lived your first dream there in terms of playing for the Giants and so on. And then you've got this very interesting second opportunity to start your own business, and obviously, you know, a successful venture at that. What what made you come up with the idea for Burn Bootcamp?
No, that's a great question. So throughout my, throughout my baseball career at Central Michigan University, as well as with the Giants minor league organization, I would travel and I would stay with host families, and these host families, there's, several dozen over a 6-year period that I was fortunate enough to know. And, I realized looking back on it that my problems that I had growing up as a young kid with that, type of abuse that no kid should have to go through, no person should have to go through. I thought that was normal. Like it didn't occur to me. Nobody ever told me that like they didn't get, pushed around, or they didn't get verbally abused, or, their parents were alcoholics. Nobody ever told me that it wasn't supposed to be like that. So when I get out into the world and I finally start to get out of Battle Creek, Michigan, and all over the country from Wyoming to Florida, everywhere, I really start to see that normal American family households, they don't have the problem of, majority speaking, don't have the problem of like I did when I grew up, and their problems were much, much different. It was vitality. It was energy. It was, the ability to pursue a happy life and focus on progression every day was absent from almost everyone that I stayed with. And I found a deep satisfaction in just helping them out, showing them exercises. Cause I was an athlete, right? Like exercise and fitness for me at a professional athlete level was like the back of my hand. I didn't realize that I had so many gifts until I started showing them and they started using them. And I started seeing relationships change a little bit in the periods of time I was there, they become happier or just feel better about themselves. And that gave me a great satisfaction. It wasn't, I'm a very focused person. I have a philosophy that highly relies on my ability, to focus on certain things. I do look at the next like shiny object and think, ooh, like candy, let me go that way and pursue that. That sounds good. And I've since reined that in since, having to grow this company to the size that it is. But I was always a one track mind when it came to baseball. I didn't have a plan B. I believed if you had a plan B, then you were planning to fail. And that was a sign of weakness. So I had a plan A, and that was to get to the big leagues. And so when I didn't have a backup, when I got released because I didn't make the big league roster, I didn't have a plan B. And so I, funny, quick little story here. I got a job. As soon as I got released, my wife and I were living in Naples, Florida. My girlfriend at the time, Morgan, co-founder of Burn as well. And I got a job out of a Best Buy department store, and I was upselling people DirecTV services at Best Buy. So I was working for DirecTV as their field salesman, upselling people. Wow. Can you imagine how many no's that you get out of that? I mean, have you ever experienced something like that?
So my first job was telemarketing. So yeah, it's an experience that is truly unique, and I think it's super beneficial.
It is, and I just got slammed with no's. I mean, I was a baseball player. I came from the yes man world, and everybody was like, you're great. You're awesome. Like, you're going to make it to the big leagues. You can do it, to like, no, get away from me. No, I don't want that. No, why are you even talking to me? And just like the soul crushing job. And that's when I realized I had this aha moment, and I was just like, I cannot be happy doing this. It's not the money that's driving me, because I'm making good money. I'm making more money selling DirecTV than I was playing baseball, and it's not what's making me happy. I have to get out of this right now. And so I politely turned my stuff in later that day, and I quit, and I never came back. Probably in retrospect, should have gave 2 weeks. Now that I'm on a little more. But this was when I was 23 years old, so very naive at the time. And so ended up becoming a personal trainer, following my passion, recalling the times that I had as a Chippewa and as a Giant, helping these host families. And I created a stupid little program called Lightning 900. We'll forever cherish it, but it was out of a parking lot in Naples, Florida. And I got some local ladies together to train with me. And that was really like that, alpha stage of what Burn Bootcamp is. We moved to North Charlotte. My wife gets an awesome job up here. We get an opportunity to move to North Charlotte. And I was like, I am not going to work for anyone else. I didn't like the experience of it. I wanted to be my own boss. So the whole time that I stayed back in Naples, Florida, when my wife Morgan moved up to Charlotte, North Carolina, it was about a 3-month period where I stayed back and I trained my clients for 12 hours a day. And I hammered on the business model for another 6 hours a day and moved up to North Carolina, found a parking lot that I could rent out. And I went to the local grocery store and I probably illegally at this point solicited 21 ladies with free t-shirts, as weird as that sounds, to come train with me. And from there, it was just game over. And it was the winning and the vision was done inside of me already. And in the mental and the emotional side was done. I was the best. I was doing it. I was going for it. And all I had to do was manifest that physical side and work backwards.
And so what made you want to go down the path of franchising, or was that part of the model from the beginning?
No, it wasn't actually. You know, I wish I could sit here and say I sat down one day and had this grand vision of, you know, being the fastest growing fitness franchise, you know, that's existed. And I can't, you know, I can't say that, because we sat around and Morgan and I really looked at our goals and we just wanted to have a local, you know, 4 locations in the North Charlotte area, have a great home on the lake and kind of live our life financially free. You know, our 4 gyms, you know, 2 of them now that we own are, you know, they gross somewhere around $2 million a year. So it's, you know, a pretty comfortable lifestyle that we're going to get to live. And, you know, and it wasn't until 2 other people reached out to us, because we grew pretty much strictly off word of mouth, social media marketing, and us becoming savvy and with blogging and PR and creating media relationships. And so a gentleman named Mike Hartshorn in Concord, North Carolina, contacted me, and a lady in who are still franchise partners to this day, actually my first 2 franchise partners, Aaron Studdard, who is in South Durham, North Carolina, contacted me and said, "Hey, we love what you're doing. Can I do this?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, can you do this? Like, yeah, you can train people. You can become a personal trainer, please do that." Like, "No, no, no. I want to have what you have. I want to be a burn boot camp. How can you teach me to be a burn boot camp?" And I was like, you know, blown away with gratitude. And I was so humble about it. And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Of course I will. You know, I will take you under my wing. I'll mentor you." And, we ended up doing a licensing agreement, because I didn't even know about franchising at the time. So we did our licensing agreement, Concord and South Durham. They opened, they rocked, they rolled. That was the moment where my wife and I looked at each other, that we were like, "Babe, this is much bigger than you and I could ever imagine. I mean, imagine what we do if we actually tried to expand this into other cities." And so that birthed the franchise. And in October 2014, I read every franchise disclosure document of all of our competitors that I could. I think I totaled in at 19. The average is like 170 pages a piece full of like legal documents.
That's some fun late night reading.
Diligence, and then ended up opening for franchising officially in February 2015.
Wow. Yeah. That's it seems that that's a common theme with entrepreneurs when I speak to them. You know, like an opportunity presents itself and either you realize that to be an opportunity, or, you know, it kind of misses you and it goes by. On the other side of the coin, obstacles. What are some of the biggest hurdles that you guys have had to overcome, either in just starting the business or in adopting the franchise model?
Yeah, I think starting the business is, I'll answer both questions. Starting the business, and as selfish as this might sound, I'm sure there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there and business owners out there, or even those in corporate America out there that don't think anybody else can do the job that they can do. Mm-hmm. And that was my hurdle at first. I had this belief system installed in my head that there's no one out there that can train people like I can train people. And so the duplication and the scalability was at question for me first, until, you know, I really realized that it's not about me. It's not about my ability. It's not about my ego. It's about my ability as a leader to create other leaders, and as a influencer to first seek out influence from others and then use that influence to influence leaders, to lead other people. And I had to realize that everyone's going to have a different personality, but if I put a system, if I had to put a process and of success in place, that anybody who can live up to the standards of what we're looking for can run a burn boot camp if they have the passion, if they have the commitment, if they have the energy, if they have the resourcefulness, they can do it as well. And that was my first big hurdle. And it probably took me a solid 8 months of really not buying into that philosophy. So that was my first challenge, was to figure out how to scale, and we're such a relationship and emotionally responsive business that my first big obstacle was, how do I scale a person and put systems in place to do that? I put just for an example, maybe somebody's listening to this and thinking about this and making a conversation in their own head. Okay, I see that, but what did you do, right? So I put in filters in place. I put a really hard physical exam in place to cut a lot of people out, knowing that if I put the physical exam in place, then I would, you know, weed out 90% of the trainers that I wouldn't consider A players or those who played at a high level. And then I would create a mental exam, 100 questions, which is now called Burn University. And I would make them pass both of those, as well as have a national accreditation. So I figured out a system to get around it. And so does that answer that first part of your question?
Yeah. I'm just curious what finally made you kind of realize that, you know, a lot of us set out to kind of clone ourselves in that regard, right? Like I'm looking for just someone that behaves and thinks and acts like me. What was the final straw in terms of realizing that, you know, you're probably more so looking for people to complement skill sets that you don't have?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely organizations in the franchise model complement each other on skill sets. As a mentor for franchise partners and a mentor for trainers, you know, I kind of play both of those dual purposes, you know, as the leader of this organization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I definitely... it tried to install into our trainers a certain set of beliefs about themselves first and foremost, because, you know, if they don't think that they're awesome and that they're the best, how is anyone else in their community or any clients going to feel that way about them too? How are they going to become the authority on fitness in their area if they don't think it first? And so, yes, there's a certain set of belief systems that we try to install into our entire organization, just culturally. And then to your point, when we're finding franchise partners and we're finding trainers, we definitely, you know, want to make sure that they fill each other's voids at the organizational level, so that, you know, they can run a successful business and be strong and have very few holes in their model.
Absolutely. Makes sense. Yep.
So I guess after the parking lot days and when I finally did have, you know, let's fast forward into when I had this elaborate system put into place, the next thing that was really a big struggle for us was validity and keeping up with the growth of the franchise. As I mentioned, we're one of the top fastest growing from conception to now at 28 months, the fastest starts ever in the fitness industry to a franchise system in terms of number of locations awarded. And, you know, growing that fast has its challenges, because franchise development or business development is just one side of an organization that has really three main heads. There's an operations division and a marketing division as well. And so for us to put all of our eggs in that one franchise development basket or business development basket without being prepared in the operations sector or without being prepared in the marketing sector of our business was a big problem for us. Not a problem that was catastrophic or detrimental, because we always knew that validation was important. We just lost sight of what our focus was, and it wasn't to expand our business. It was to develop and dig deep with the businesses that we already had out there and open. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
That distinction. Yeah.
So you mentioned one of the hot button topics that always comes up within these interviews, which is mentorship, really, really early on here. And it's hard to listen to anything from Tony Robbins and not be inspired. But is there a particular piece of advice that you received either from a mentor or just, you know, anyone else within your life that has stuck with you that you really feel is a key to the success that you guys have seen?
Yeah, because of my background, you know, and because of the way that I was brought up, I never had any resources, right? I always had to, you know, if I wanted to get a ride to practice, to practice an extra hour or two, I'd have to either ride my bike or I'd have to walk or run or find a ride. So it's always been innate in me to just kind of just naturally be resourceful. But when I was told, one of my mentors, his name is Jeff Duden, and he's the franchisor of a company called Advantaclean, and they're in Huntersville, North Carolina here as well. And I actually purchased one of my first buildings from him on my headquarter campus. And so he's really the one who was like, dude, why aren't you franchising? Like this model, he was like, this is his exact words. He's like, your model is super sexy. He's like, I clean under people's houses for a living, and we're, look at us, like, look at what you could do in this industry. And so, you know, he really pushed me, and I said, Jeff, you know, I said, well, I don't have any capital. I said, you know, I only have a few thousand dollars, you know, from baseball left over. I don't have many resources. He said, dude, and he taught, it's just his attitude, because dude, bro, he said, dude, you know, when there's no resources, successful people get resourceful, my friend. And, he said it so sincerely and so like, you know, it just caught me and it hit me so hard. I'll never forget that moment I had, like, you know, we have those peak moments of enlightenment. And that was one for me. He was like, just get resourceful when there's no resources. And that one statement actually led to my first media appearance here in Charlotte. I knew that I needed to get on TV if I wanted to spread my message, and I had no resources, no money. I couldn't pay for a segment. And so I came up with a game plan and pounded the pavement. And after 8 months, got on my first TV segment, and then ended up on all four major channels in Charlotte, and then ended up on all four major channels and everywhere in the Southeast. And then ended up in New York City on Fox and Friends, you know, all within like a couple years. And so that was a big piece of advice from him, and I'll forever be grateful for Jeff. And if anybody hasn't checked Jeff out, he was actually on Undercover Boss not too long ago as well, with the Advantaclean company.
Yeah, awesome.
That was my probably biggest one right there, that I, when there's no resources, get resourceful.
Yeah, powerful piece of advice. So when you are, you know, you've obviously built the team at this point, and you're looking for individuals that are going to be able to be inspired in the same way that you were, what are you looking for when you bring on a new hire? What are you looking to scratch the surface and find below?
You know, culture as a leader, and I think everyone listening is in some way, shape, or form in a leadership role or desires to be in a leadership role. And you know, my biggest piece of advice is that people over everything, because culture is the cultivator for any strategy that you want to use. Without poor culture, or with one bad person in your organization that's just not a good person, you know, it can really bring down a team. And I've experienced this firsthand, back to this whole concept of validation, right? And growing really, really fast. Well, we grew fast, and it was a team of three, and I needed to ramp up. And so I just started hiring people on first interviews. Honestly, my first three people I hired just on their first interview, didn't interview anybody else. And oh my gosh, did that cost me time and money. And they're forever great people. Don't get me wrong. Like I will thank them for, and have gratitude for the rest of my life for them and what they did helping me get this business off the ground, but they just weren't the right people for the job. And, you know, so we adopted the mentality to hire slow and fire fast. And we now have a process in place that we don't, unless we get five touches, meaning a phone call, an interview, a follow-up phone call, another interview before they get to me and my wife, we don't even consider anyone until everyone on the team has given a thumbs up. Everyone on the team has, and this is including our admin that sits at the front desk that helps organize the office. She has an equal say. We have an ideocracy. So the best ideas win. There's a very, very limited hierarchy in our office. Everyone is on the same playing field. And, you know, that's part of our culture. So bringing people in that fit into that, right? So, you know, bringing people in that aren't afraid to speak up, bringing people in with humility, I think, is a really good one, to be able to, like, you know, you don't want those people that are always right, because if they always have to be right, nobody else is allowed to have an opinion. So, you know, really having people that can be humble and be wrong, that's really important. But I would say that, and then competency/intelligence, you know, look for subject matter experts. If you're hiring a subject matter expert, don't you know, fish in operations pool for a marketing person and like them just because they are a good person, right? Make sure they have the competency, the skills, the intelligence to lead and to, you know, really be a thought leader in your organization and really make that performance culture rather than a kind of loyalty culture.
Right.
You're loyal to your people, but they have to perform first and foremost.
Great, great advice. So what is next for Burn Bootcamp? Obviously, you guys are growing at a super fast clip, fastest franchise commits in the nation. Correct? Did I hear you correctly on that?
Yeah, that's right.
Where do you go from here?
You know, I think the sky's the limit. I didn't know I'd be here 2 years from now. But I'll tell you what I know that I'm committed to. I know that we're committed to 10,000 units globally. I know that we're committed to not being a US company that dabbles in a global market, that we are truly building a global empire that can impact and change lives all over the place. First, you know, before that even is the, you know, the ability to impact 10 million people and really have 10 million online and or in person clients who are raving fans of our business, and really just help and pour into those people, add more value than anyone else can. Like I said, we're developing Canada, starting in Toronto, UAE, an even shorter term goal that we've set that we're on track for is 1,000 units domestically in the first 6 years awarded. We're targeting Texas, we're targeting California for this next quarter. You know, a lot of my goals and aspirations surround impact. You know, I have like these numerical, tangible goals, you know, that we can quantitate, but at the end of the day, for us, what we're concerned with are metrics like how many times is a client coming each week at an average gym, because that's that lead measure that's going to get us to 10,000 locations worldwide is when we can create raving fans with the people that we have now. So, I know that doesn't give you your like typical, vision casting goal, but to vision cast for Burn Bootcamp, for everybody listening, you know, watch out for us because we are coming with a full head of steam. We're coming with an unstoppable mentality and attitude towards being the fitness company that changes the way that personal training is looked upon in the United States, that sets the standards for how the fitness franchising industry is run and thought leaders in fitness and nutrition. You know, and I'm not personally going to stop until I'm in that top five conversation of fitness entrepreneurs that's ever walked this planet. And so that's what we're dedicated to. And that's kind of already done within us and got to manifest that physical portion of it now.
Yeah. I mean, certainly no shortage of drive there. So Devin, I mean, it just a powerful story, powerful business model. You guys are definitely doing some special stuff over there. So if people want to learn a little bit more about Burn Bootcamp, where can they go?
Burnbootcamp.com is great. If you're looking just to check out the website, you can go ahead up and hit up burnbootcamp.com/blog. If you're looking for some content to help you with your fitness or your nutrition, you know, my last piece of advice is that if you have the physical piece missing from your life, everyone out there, you know, find a way to enjoy the process of practicing physical fitness and physical activity on a daily basis, putting yourself through the trial and tribulation in just the pure grit of having to do that on the day in, day out basis creates a tremendous discipline to be able to run a business and endure any obstacles that you run into. So burnbootcamp.com, and we can help you with anything and everything.
Yeah. Again, the way we started off the show was really selling, you know, commitment or invoking that commitment within people. And certainly the model and the philosophy that you guys have put out there is doing that and very successfully, I might add. All right. So again, Devin Klein, the company is Burn Bootcamp. Thanks so much for joining us here today, Devin. Really appreciate it.
Justin, thank you. It's been amazing. Love what you're doing for entrepreneurs and successful people out there. Keep it up, my friend. You're doing a great job as well.
Thanks, man. Again, appreciate your time. For everyone else, if you want to check out past episodes of Driven & Co., just check out leadmd.com/marketplace. And remember to trust in the unconventional.
Thanks for listening to the Driven & Co. podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. To hear more, visit leadmd.com/marketplace.